Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, and I'm joined by Dr. Chris Hughes. Chris, just before the break at the top of the hour, we were talking about the insurrection hoax, January 6th insurrection hoax, that the left is still trying to make an issue out of that, despite everyone knowing that it was nowhere near the disaster of our attack on Pearl Harbor or Civil War and all the other rhetoric that those on the left have been using. But Chris, I'd like to talk about this a little bit. And the news at the top of the hour kind of prompted me to think about that. And that was the shutdown we saw with Southwest Airlines and all that is going on with that issue. And recently, just yesterday, I received this note. And here's what the note says. Southwest heroes, we are with you. Hold that line. The note goes on to say, I just got this message. I'm in the airline industry. Yesterday, 668 Southwest Airlines flights had canceled by the time I went to bed. They are estimating 1,000 to 1,400 will be canceled today. Want to know why? They told their pilots and flight attendants that they had until November to get jabbed. So now they have to use all their banked vacation and personal time or lose it. And off-duty crew are not picking up trips to cover. The Jacksonville ATC walked out too, and the Milwaukee ATC is expected to follow today. There is no weather. Southwest just doesn't want to tell you the real reason why. I asked one of the pilots about it. The answer I got was this, paraphrase, and I'm reading, quote, 80% of our pilots are ex-military. We see the tyranny that's happening. They're coming for essential workers first, nurses, doctors, firefighters, police, military, teachers, and transportation workers. And they're coming for the rest of America next. We're not doing it for us. This is the pilot speaking. We're doing it for America. We swore to defend the Constitution against all enemies. And the note that I would sit ends with this. This is bravery. Hold that line. Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
Mike, more employees of companies are going to have to take a stand against this tyranny. And it really is tyranny. What's going to happen? We have a healthcare crisis, according to them. And if you have a bunch of doctors and nurses who refuse to get the vaccination because they know what's really in it, how are we going to treat sick people? And if pilots aren't flying their planes, I mean, I know they want to weed out the conservatives in our society, but our economy can't sustain a continued cancellation of 1,500 to 2,000 flights every day for very long. But I'm proud of them because this is a tactic that the left has used on us many times. They boycott. They try to hurt a business financially. And I'm glad it's about time that we have some conservatives who get a backbone and take a stand. It's a little bit too late almost, but I'm glad we're finally taking a stand, and I hope others will do this across the country and put an end to this nonsense. Mike, it's school teachers, it's students going to college or be required to have a vaccination, or they just harass you to death. You can't go to class, or they test you numerous times throughout the week. You can't travel to a foreign country anymore. It is time for us to draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough and end this nonsense now.
That's right, Chris. And in fact, I'm proud to say that here in Pensacola, my town, that this evening they're having a protest of healthcare workers who are going to be gathering at our baseball stadium. We have a minor league team here with a baseball stadium. They're expecting thousands to show up this evening here at our baseball stadium protesting of how the local hospitals here are demanding that the nurses and all employees at the hospital receive the vaccination, which is so hypocritical because just a year ago, no one had a vaccination, and these healthcare workers were called heroes, and their bravery was applauded because they were on the front line taking care of people who had COVID. Now, all of a sudden, they can't continue showing that heroism and bravery without getting the jab. And they are saying, we are not putting up with that. We're not doing it. And there's going to be a rally this afternoon, this evening. And just as you said, Chris, we need to have more of that all across the nation where we are saying, there's no way we're going to let you put an experimental vaccine into our bodies.
Mike, many of them, are not taking into account the fact that many of these healthcare workers have had COVID. So they have antibodies. And there's no allowance for antibodies, and I've talked to many doctors, I'm sure you have too. The antibodies from having the COVID are much stronger than the resistance that you get from having a vaccine. And this should be alarming to the general public. If healthcare workers, if doctors and nurses and others are not wanting to take it, what do they know that we don't know? They know that it's an experimental drug. This is the first time in the history of our nation that an experimental drug has been rushed through this fast. We don't know what the long-term effects are going to be from this. It's disturbing.
That's right, Chris. And interestingly, those who are exempt from taking the jab are congressional members and their staff. Isn't that interesting? They don't have to take it. What are they, superhuman or something, to where they are naturally immune from it?
The
vast majority of Americans are naturally immune from it, Chris.
They are, but that is not taken into consideration. And, we were looking at last night the possibility of taking a cruise in the not-too-distant future. They're not even going to allow you on a cruise ship unless you have been vaccinated, you have been tested 2 days before a cruise, and you have to wear a mask the entire time. This is just crazy, and it's got to end.
It has to, Chris. It does. Let's go to another topic here. Well, it's actually somewhat related. This is an article that is out of the American Institute for Economic Research, written by Robert Wright. This was written on October 8th and has the title, Has America's Third Civil War Begun? Interestingly, I'm reading from the article now. The question of whether a third American Civil War has begun occurred to me after reading a recent New York Times piece, deliberately unlinked as it fails fact-checking, that claimed that the president can mandate a vaccine today because George Washington did so during America's first Civil War, more commonly called the American Revolution. That much is true, but the article misses a few key differences. It was a wartime measure that applied only to soldiers. It was for smallpox, which was orders of magnitude more deadly than COVID. The introduction of small amounts of the live virus into the bloodstream is how it was done, not experimental gene therapy. I again call for a COVID variolation option on a voluntary basis. Did the New York Times admit too much by analogizing from a wartime scenario, or is it simply grasping at straws as usual? Maybe, inadvertently, some of both. Chris, the article goes on to say, the Revolution and the Civil War, which was fought in 1861 to 1865, were both civil in a sense of being internecine struggles, but both were extremely uncivil in a sense that they were violent shooting wars that rent asunder families, towns, counties, and even entire states. Some people call the latter conflict the war between the states or the war of Yankee aggression, partly for political reasons, but also following the logic of Guns and Roses. What's so civil about war anyway? The article goes on to say, some claim that America is already in a civil, in a sense of not shooting war, with China, which purportedly has deployed its three warfare strategies of legal, psychological, and public opinion distortion. That would not be surprising. The USA, of course, waged a long non-shooting conflict, typically referred to as the Cold War, against the Soviet Union. During a decades-long conflict, the two superpowers shot at each other only indirectly in places like Korea and Afghanistan, while also trying to destabilize each other with espionage, propaganda, and such. A non-shooting or internecine war, a civil war, if you will, is also not unprecedented, but is also not just politics as usual. There used to be rules and proportionality. It increasingly appears now that one side wants to annihilate the other at any cost, and that the sides are not drawn along strictly party lines. Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
Mike, I pray that our nation does not have another civil war, but we really are in a culture civil war right now, and it's expanding beyond that, Mike. We need to wake up and pay attention. The way they're going to hurt us first, and they're doing it right now, is economically. I was at a meeting last week. I don't want to say what the name of the company is, but it's a big company, and they're a Christian company, and most of our listeners would know who they are. And they made a post about the ineffectiveness of the vaccine, and they were shut down on all social media platforms, which is a big part of how they raise their money. But not only that, their credit card processor, and I don't know if people understand, you know, when you go online or go to the store, there's a third party company that processes your Visa or your MasterCard or debit card or whatever to get the payment to the end user or the business that's selling you the product. Well, when their credit card processor shut them down, it basically shut their organization down because they were not allowed to take donations or sell products anymore on their website or at any of their events. And that is war, Mike. When our government is encouraging others to destroy the businesses of people who love and support this country, it is the beginnings of a civil war. And I think we are definitely in a cultural civil war right now.
Chris, you are exactly right. You hit the nail right on the head. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill and Chris Hughes sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. If you would like to join the conversation, the number is 904-831-0917. Chris, what you just said is amazing, because the author of this article goes on to say almost exactly what you said. Cancel culture was the first weapon deployed in this American Civil War that pits the sheeple against the people, the brainwashed against those capable of independent thought, and safety first authoritarians against civil libertarians, left, right, and center. So the cancel culture was the first weapon deployed. The article goes on to say, shame people on social media in the hopes that they will turn into sheeple and begin to follow the crowd, or at least injure their income. It often works, but some people will not or cannot be canceled. If they lose their jobs, they sue their former employer, or slanderous media outlets jump to more lucrative careers on other social media and so forth. Millions of others simply avoid social media or keep it strictly to sharing videos or crazy cats or laughing babies. Now, Chris, I'm going to take a little aside here and say that I left Twitter about 2 years ago, and I left Facebook January of this year. And I'll tell you, I haven't missed a thing. In fact, it feels great not to be on either platform and not to give any one of those leftists who run those organizations any way to make money off of me. And I don't know why, for the life of me, why there are patriots who are still on Facebook, who are still on Twitter, and supporting these leftists who are hell-bent on attacking this country. Now, I know some have to because it's a way of making income for them. But other than that, you should get off those social media sites. There are others that are out there, such as Getter, there's Parler, there's MeWe, and others.
We're going to have to get on those other sites, Mike, and we're also going to have to find alternate methods, and I may not be using the correct terms here, but of web servers. Amazon, believe it or not, has a huge business model where they don't only just sell stuff, but they also operate many of their websites across the country and across the world. And when they want to shut you down, they can. So I think that Christians and conservatives are going to have to wake up here. And you don't have much time. I'm going to sound very alarmist here. I think we need to start building co-ops of businesses that can partner with each other. You know, if somebody has a business that can serve as a host for websites so these businesses can communicate, because, Mike, that's much of how we work today, is we communicate on social media or on cell phones or however it may be. And we also need to find banks, maybe locally owned banks, because the national banks are not going to work with us. We're going to come to the point where we're going to have a whole system of business within the current system of the government. And the Bible tells us that's coming. If you read in Ezekiel, Daniel, and Revelation, it talks about the end times. You're not going to be able to buy and sell unless you have some kind of co-op set up where you can do business with each other and trade, you know, vegetables or whatever it may be. And I know people think that's alarmist, but I'm telling you, Mike, it's coming, and we need to start thinking about what we're going to do when that happens.
You are absolutely right, Chris. I agree with you 100%. The article goes on to say, vaccines are a new weapon in a civil war because they can be used to reach anyone and everyone. Mandates are not a perfect weapon because some rational free thinkers have gotten the stab after due consideration of their individual situations. While some sheeple consider doctors their alphas and follow individualized medical advice not to get the Fauci ouchie, he calls it. No weapon kills all of the enemy or prevents all collateral damage. So these instances do not mitigate against vaccine weaponization.
We need to figure out what the real purpose of this vaccine is. The COVID virus is not a natural phenomenon. It's created in labs somewhere. So why are we creating a virus that needs a vaccine? And then what's the real purpose of that vaccine? Bill Gates has been talking for years about the need to have vaccines and how he thinks the use of certain vaccines can diminish and decrease our population. So you got to wonder if that's his goal and he's funding most of this vaccine research, is he trying to kill somebody and why?
Well, we know also, Chris, that it has to do a lot with money. These big pharmaceuticals have raked in tens of billions, if not hundreds of billions of dollars over this past year, creating and pushing these vaccines worldwide. And we know that there are a number of nations which have said, we're not going to do the vaccines anymore. I know Norway, Denmark was one. Several huge states in India are saying that we're not using it. Instead, they're using ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and other treatments other than the shot, which are being effective and which work. So we know that this jab has nothing to do with stopping COVID, but more about control and dictating what people should do and not do, but also the money. They're making a ton of money with all this. I'm reading the article out of the American Institute for Economic Research, written by Robert Wright. And Robert goes on to say, what's amazing are reports that people terminated for noncompliance may not be eligible for unemployment insurance because they are being fired for cause. That will lead to some fun lawsuits because for cause traditionally means for doing something wrong, like stealing, or not doing something right, like showing up for work on time. Sufficient cause was a concept that employers and employees worked out together, not a dictate from the executive branch of the federal government. It is blatantly unlawful dictate at that. Corporations must start to contest unconstitutional federal policies. Imagine if Biden, in one of his delirious tantrums, said that corporations need to execute noncompliant employees. Would they do so? Presumably not. But by the self-styled progressive's own claims, firing or not hiring people is tantamount to slowly strangling them to death. I mean, they call it termination, right? Seriously, Newsweek in 2010, citing research, claimed that layoffs literally kill people. And then, Chris, the article goes on to say something you said not too long ago, just a few minutes ago you said it. Corporations should team up, hire the fanciest of fancy lawyers and defeat mandates and vaccine passports, or be counted as an enemy of the people. They can fund the legal expenses out of their oversized charitable donation budgets because saving the Constitution is the most important cause of them all. Has the Civil War begun in America? I can't reject that hypothesis as long as irrational wars on a vaccine noncompliant innovation and small business continue. If the authoritarians win those battles, free-thinking people who believe in human rights may have to capitulate or worse. Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's scary, and the author of this article is exactly right. That is where we are right now. And that's why it's so good to see what's happening with the employees at Southwest. They're really the first ones to stand up and take a stand. You know, another interesting case, he's not going to win, is that Lieutenant Colonel of the Marine Corps who posted a video and spoke out against what had happened in his chain of command, and now he's been placed in solitary confinement. They are going to cancel anybody that stands against them. But if we can get enough corporations to fight this, we might be able to slow the cancel culture down a little bit, at least until the next election cycle. You know, it's a long time, Mike, until November of 2022 when we have a chance to take back the United States Congress. And when I look at what they've done in not even a year right now since President Biden's been in office, I'm scared to think of what he's going to do between now and 2022 with the hopes that even if he loses control of Congress, they won't reverse what's been done already. Because when you've got somebody like Mitch McConnell running the ship in the Senate, that man needs to grow a spine and take a stand and quit cutting some deals.
That's right, Chris. No, you raise a very good point. The Democrats know, the leftists know, that they only have a short window of opportunity. So what they are trying to do is ram through as much of their craziness as they can. And it is crazy. We're almost every day, I hate to turn on the news at all, or when I'm in my car at the top of the hour to hear the news come on, because it's always something crazy and outrageous that this regime is doing again. And the reason why they are doing it is they know they have a short window of opportunity, and they can see how in the past, when Democrats wanted to get something done, such as FDR, who gave us the Social Security and Medicare, that it stays with us. And we can see, like, when Lyndon Johnson came in the 60s and he started Medicaid, it is still here with us. And now we see Joe Biden wanting to give this extended child credit, where if you're 12 and over, you get $3,000. If you're under 12, you get $3,600 per child. And they want to ram that through. They already have now. What president is going to come by after that and say, okay, folks, we're taking this money away from you? Who would have the guts to do that? Somebody like Trump would, but he's rare.
Not you would hope so, Mike.
Will.
You would hope so. You know, but he, you know, as much as I like him, he let a lot of this stuff happen under his watch. And he has got to go in there if he wins, you know, in 2024, and he's got to put an end to this. When President Biden took office, I have a lot of friends, like I'm sure you do, that worked in the administration across the board. They all had to resign that day of inauguration. President Trump did not do that. He kept a lot of these weasels in his administration. He needs to clean house day one and then get moving and pray that we have leadership in the House that is not like Paul Ryan, who had the chance for 2 years to do something and was too busy arguing with President Trump.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Chris. President Trump could have gotten a lot more done, except the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, and the Senate President, Mitch McConnell, were blocking him every step of the way. Chris, we have just under 2 minutes left in our broadcast today. I want to thank you for joining me. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. It was hosted today by Mike Hill and Chris Hughes. Chris, we always want to leave our audience with an upbeat feeling. We want to leave them on a good note, knowing that as Christians, even though things look terrible, God is still on the throne, and that we know that there is going to be an ending, a good ending with him. We have about a minute left, Chris. What would you have to say with that? How would you close out our show, please?
Well, Mike, we've had a scary show today, but I want our listeners to realize that we serve a great and mighty God. We don't serve a government. We serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if we will unite as a body of Christ, we can take a stand for righteousness. We can take a stand for holiness and change the culture for Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. Ladies and gentlemen, join us again tomorrow on Let's Face the Issue. This is Mike Hill and Chris Hughes sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.